Third part in a series, Acts chapter 16, 6 through 15, we'll be reading from. Specific title of the sermon today, Roadblocks and Open Hearts. The series we've been doing was talking about how when we see people, the good news of Jesus would be triggered in us, and we would speak the good news to people. The first week we talked about the lost, how when we see someone who is lost, who is hurting from being lost in their sins, we say that there is none so lost that can't be found. Last week we talked about having the good news triggered by strangers. When we feel scattered in this world, and all of us feel scattered, we discovered that. When we feel scattered in this world, we say scattered people reach out with the message of Jesus, and scattered people see it as an opportunity to reach new people. Well, today we want to reach out to those that are interested in the things of God, interested in a relationship with God. So let's read Acts chapter 16, 6 through 15. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus, I like that, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight from Samothrace, and the next day we went up to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony in the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God, a worshiper of Yahweh. The Lord, Jesus, had opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. Father, open up our hearts today to receive the message of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We want the good news of Jesus Christ to be triggered in our hearts when we see those, when we look for those that are interested in God. And God will use roadblocks and open hearts to help us find those interested in God. So let's go through this, number one, in your outline, in your bulletin. Roadblocks redirect Christ followers. They do not stop them. Roadblocks redirect Christ followers. They do not stop them. Have you ever run into a roadblock in your life? We were on our way home from Elizabeth's basketball game the other night, and the exit we wanted to get off on was completely closed down. It was a roadblock. So we had to pass that exit. We had to keep going. We almost stopped right in the middle of the lane, and we were just going to wait till they finished opening up that exit. We weren't sure when that was going to be, but, you know, we thought we'd take the chance and back up M6 all the way, you know, for 50 miles. No, we didn't do that. We passed that roadblock exit, went down to the next exit, turned around, and came back to where we needed to be. You've had roadblocks in your life. Not all of us have had physical roadblocks, but I'm talking about the roadblocks that stop our progression in life. You put in for the job, you filled out the resume, the person put in a good word for you, but you didn't get the job. You asked her out, you brought flowers, you acted real nice, and she still said no. You started the ministry, and you thought it was going to go good, and it started off all right, but it kind of just puttered out. You had that dream, and something got in the way of your dream, and it seemed like it was dying, and it just came to a stop, a roadblock. You were trying to get the house, you were trying to get the apartment, or whatever it was, and for whatever reason, there was a roadblock, and it stopped you. You tried to start the business, you thought it was going good, but then things kind of went sour, and there was a roadblock there. Now, roadblocks, when we face them, they do not mean give up. They do not mean stop, just like us stopping in the middle of N6 would have been a foolish thing to do. When you hit a roadblock, it means rethink, replan, wait, then head in a different direction. When you hit a roadblock in life, as you're following God, it means rethink, replan, most of the time wait, or at least slow down, then head in a different direction. And you head in that different direction with more wisdom. You didn't get the job. You don't stop. You have to rethink. You have to replan. Most of the time you have to wait. Then you head in a different direction with more wisdom. He said no. The relationship went south. You need to rethink and replan, and you need to wait sometimes. Most of the people, when they go through a divorce, they hit a roadblock in their life, they jump right back into a relationship right away. They didn't wait. You need to wait. You need to rethink, replan, and get a new direction from God. The goal is still the same. You still want the job. You still want a date. You still want the dream. You still want the ministry. You still want the house. You still want a business. But the direction has to be different when you hit a roadblock. Otherwise, you're going to plow into something, and otherwise, you're going to wreck your life and end up destroyed. Let me give you a few famous people, a few famous inventors who were going after a dream who ended up running into a roadblock. A man named Clarence Darrow. He invented a game called Monopoly. And he tried to sell this game to a company called Parker Brothers. Well, Parker Brothers, when they first saw the game, wanted nothing to do with it. They said the game was flawed. It had 52 playing errors in it, what their people saw, and it made the game unplayable. Well, Darrow thought it was a good game. Clarence did. He had to rethink, replan. He had to wait. He had to move in a different direction. He had to go in production himself. Now, he was an unemployed heating engineer at the time, so he could have given up on his dream because of this roadblock, but he kept going, and he produced the game himself. And years later, Parker Brothers came back to him and bought the game from him for a fortune. Has anybody ever played Monopoly? That's the game we use to crush our families. Thank you, Clarence. We appreciate it. But it would not have happened if he had not rethought, replanned, and redirected his life and did not let this roadblock stop him. Bill Gates, Microsoft Windows. Gates was working with IBM, and he wanted IBM to endorse his new hardware, Microsoft Windows. They had DOS going at the time, but IBM refused. They were unwilling to share the profits with Bill Gates. So Bill Gates, he was not the powerhouse, the richest man in the world like he is now. He had to rethink, replan, he had to wait, and get a new direction. But this roadblock of not having IBM's backing could have stopped him. But it didn't. With his redirection, he was forced to sell Windows on his own separately on the retail market. And has anyone here ever used Microsoft Windows before? Okay. A man named Walt Disney. You may have heard of him. I've read one of his autobiographies. He was fired by the newspaper, the cartoonist at the newspaper, for not having good ideas and for having no imagination. He had to rethink, replan, he had to wait, and get a new direction. Anyone here ever seen a Disney movie? Arguably, they have pretty good imagination. Colonel Sanders. You seen those Colonel Sanders commercials? Those are kind of weird, aren't they? He's got those wee beady eyes. You know? He put something in his chicken that makes you crave it fortnightly. It's just. But folklore tells us that his recipe was rejected over 1,000 times before he ever found a restaurant that would use his recipe. Today, KFC is the 4th largest restaurant chain in the world. Let me tell you about someone who is not famous and doesn't really want to be famous. His name is Everett Todd Smith. He was born legally blind. He's been legally blind going on 42 years now. He was told by many because of this roadblock in his life, he should just go on full-time disability, that he should just stop and quit. And I don't have a problem with people who need to be on full-time disability, but that wasn't what I wanted to do. So I had to rethink, replan, wait, and find my direction. My guess is everyone here has been given a roadblock or two in their life as well. You've been told to quit, you've been told to stop, or you wanted to quit, you wanted to stop. But I believe God arranges roadblocks for those who are following him to fulfill his good plans for our lives. God arranges those roadblocks in our lives so we can rethink, replan, wait. Sometimes you need to wait. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and to find that new direction that we need to go. And for his ultimate purpose in our life, but would make our life really worth living, he puts those roadblocks and open hearts in our lives to help us find those that are interested in him. That is really a life worth living. That is really God's ultimate purpose, for us to find those that are interested in him. Number two. God is in the business of arranging roadblocks. Did you know that? I wish he wasn't sometimes. My carnal self, my fallen self. God is in the business of arranging roadblocks so that people can encounter him. Paul was planning on going in one direction. He was in Asia. He was in Troas. But he hit a roadblock, and God would not let him move forward. God took him in another direction. He had this vision, he had this dream of a man from Macedonia begging him to come over. Macedonia in Europe, modern-day Greece, if you will. So Paul was in Troas in Asia, a port city on the northern tip of the western coast of Turkey, and he has this vision to come over to Macedonia, to come over to Philippi, into Europe. It was his first trip into Europe. The roadblock was leading him on this kind of scary adventure. I won't sugarcoat this and be dishonest with you. Sometimes the roadblocks are scary, okay? He's been in Asia all of his life. He knows the cultures. He knows the people. Now God is sending him over to Europe. He's never been there before. It's going to be an adventure. It's going to be a little bit scary. It was 500 miles away. That was then. They didn't have the transportation. I'd be like going, 10,000 miles today. 500 miles to Philippi. Now, years earlier, we don't know when, God had brought a lady named Lydia 500 miles as well from her home in Thyatira. So he's sending Paul 500 miles, sending Lydia 500 miles to encounter God. I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more, just to meet Paul and Lydia together. Apparently Philippi is a geographical oddity. It's 500 miles from everywhere. The scriptures and the Christian life are full of God coincidences or God instances. Her coming 500 miles, Paul coming 500 miles to meet at the same place. It was not by luck, it was by God. I'm sure Lydia ran into a roadblock or two in her life that led her those 500 miles from her home in Asia to being in Europe her own self. And it was the roadblocks in Paul's life that led him to meet Lydia. We call those roadblocks when God is up to something, we call them sovereignty. We call that the sovereignty of God. We call it the providence of God. God took Paul and Lydia to a foreign land, to a place that was not their home, just so they could encounter, just so they could be used by God. It was there that she heard the gospel. 500 miles away, it was there that she was converted. God had arranged it all, and it happened according to His providence. And as you and as I follow God, those roadblocks will be leading us where God will use us and where God will introduce us to those who are interested. I don't believe you're here today by accident. Psalms 32:8 that we've read today, God has led you here. He's advised you here. He's got you here today for a reason. God uses roadblocks, and He uses open hearts to get you to the point you need to be, that you need to be. God uses roadblocks, and He uses open hearts to reach out to the interested. And you're not here today by accident. Number three. If we do not look for open hearts, we stay blocked. If we do not look for open hearts, we stay blocked. Now, those inventors we talked about, they had to look for open hearts. They had to look for someone interested. They had to look for someone interested in the game. They had to look for someone interested in the chicken. They had to look for someone interested in the computer hardware. Now, Paul and his companions arrived in Philippi. They didn't stop. They passed the roadblock. But once they got there, they still had to look for an open heart. If not, they might as well stayed in Asia. They might as well stayed in Troas and stayed on this side of the roadblock. But when they got there, when they got unblocked, when they got moving in the right direction, they still had to look for someone with an open heart. Now, Paul's plan was he always went to Jewish synagogues when he was in the provinces of Asia. He would always find a Jewish synagogue because the people at a Jewish synagogue had a foundation of knowing who Jehovah, knowing who Yahweh is, knowing the scriptures. So he had a starting point. But now he's in a completely foreign country, a completely Roman colony in Macedonia, in Philippi, and they had no synagogue there. They really did not have much of a foundation at all. There was not enough Jewish people living in the city. The Jewish tradition says there must be 10 male heads of households to start a synagogue. Now, the Jewish believers, if they did not have a synagogue, they would go down by the river or by the seashore and have their services there on Sabbath, on the Sabbath, because they had ceremonial washings they had to go through, and Paul knew this. So Paul and Timothy and Silas and Luke, they go down to the riverside and they discover a small group of people who knew about the Jewish religion, and they were all women. Most likely there were Jewish women. Most of them were Jewish women. There was this one non-Jewish woman, an Asian woman, a Greek woman, Lydia, who was interested, who was following the Jewish God. Now, Paul, in his vision, he didn't see a woman. He saw a man begging him to come over to Macedonia to preach. Now, Paul was a Jewish Pharisee, a Jewish rabbi, and the Jewish rabbis taught, it is better that the words of the law be burned than delivered to a woman. And soon as Paul saw those women and no men there, the Jewish rabbi, I'm sure, inside of him went, whoa. I'm guessing for a second his carnal mind said, I ain't going down there. And he thought about walking away. But the Holy Spirit inside of him, Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus inside of him, made him leave that garbage thinking behind, and he began to speak to these women about Yahweh, about Jesus. Her name was Lydia. Actually, Lydia probably was not her official name. Lydia means the Lydian woman, or from Lydia, it actually means. She was from Thyatira, from a city called Lydia in Asia Minor. It would be like someone from another country meeting you and saying the American, or meeting you and saying the Canadian. They're meeting her and they're saying the Lydian. But we'll call her Lydia. They may have called her that as well. Her occupation, she was a seller of purple cloth. So we can assume she was wealthy, because purple robes were worn by the royalty, by the educated, by the religious leaders, and they would pay top dollar for this cloth. So she managed to be a successful businesswoman, a successful Asian businesswoman in a foreign country, from Asia but now living and working in Europe. She was both in a foreign country. She was in a male-dominated society, but she did not let that stop her. She did not let that slow her down. Now, Lydia is only mentioned here in the Scriptures. She only has a brief picture of her in the book of Acts. But she holds a prominent place in history. Lydia is the first recorded Christian convert on the continent of Europe. Even though she was Asian, she was converted in Europe, and her home became the first place where the church was planted in Europe. That's a pretty big deal for us here, by this Asian woman in Europe, became the first church in Europe. And it was her household, which is another unusual thing. It was not her father's house, which would have been accepted in that society. It was not in her husband's house. It was called her household. And apparently it was a large household, because it could accommodate Paul and Silas and Luke and Timothy. It accommodated all of them because she allowed them to stay there. She opened her heart to God. She opened her home to the church. You say, that's all well and good. What's this Lydia story have to do with us? Why is this Lydia story important to us? How does it affect me in my daily life? Why is it important to you? Why is it important to us? Because someone was interested in finding you. Paul was interested in finding Lydia, someone who was interested in God. Somewhere in your life, you were interested in God. You were looking for something. You were looking for something true, something good, something beautiful. And someone came along. I don't know who it was. It was a parent. It was a grandparent. It was a friend. It was someone. It was a stranger. They were interested in you and introduced you to the God of the Bible. Someone was looking for you. If they weren't, you would not be here today. You would not be here today if someone was not interested in you. They did not let the roadblocks stop them. And we can't let the roadblocks stop us from finding someone that is interested in God. They were interested in the interested, and we have to be interested in those interested in God. We have to do that. We have to do that as Christ followers. If we're not interested in the interested, if we stop at the roadblocks, if we don't want to be used by God, then they're not God's roadblocks. They're our blocks. If we don't want to be used by God to find the interested, they're not roadblocks. They're our blocks. We've stopped ourselves from reaching out to the interested. And if we're not interested in the interested, what we need to do is we need to pray. We need to repent. We need to ask for help. We need to get around others who are interested in the interested. We need to rely on His grace. We need to walk by faith. And we need to be led by the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Spirit. And to be honest, if you're a Christ follower and you're not interested in the interested, following God is going to become boring. If you're not interested in what God is up to, interested in the interested, you'll become legalistic. You'll see the Christianity and the church as an exclusive club, and you're the only one who has the right password to get in. That's what happens when we're not interested in the interested. Even if they haven't got it all figured out, even if they haven't, they don't pray right, they don't stand right, they don't understand who Jesus is, if we're not interested in the interested, we'll become legalistic and an exclusive club. But we know that God will use these roadblocks, and He will use open hearts to help us find those who are interested in God. And number four, the interested listen. Are you interested this morning? I still got your interest. God still got your interest? All right. Well, then listen up. The interested listen with an open heart. Lydia listened to what Paul was saying. She listened. She paid attention to. She was not Jewish. She was a Greek. Her name tells us she comes from a Greek family. She was a worshiper of Yahweh. She was what we would call a God-fearer, but she was attracted to the Jewish religion. She was attracted to Yahweh. She wanted to discover who the true God was, but she was not a full convert. She grew up in a Greek household. She would have been introduced at a young age to the Greek gods, to the Roman gods, the many Greek gods, the many Roman gods, and I'm assuming she listened to them. She was interested in them. She had an open mind to them, but something about them did not seem right to her. So she started seeking other places. She started asking questions, and she found a group of ladies that were talking about this Jewish God. And she began to be interested in this Jewish God. Now, she was not a full Jewish convert, because becoming a Jewish convert was difficult and inconvenient, but she was definitely interested in this God. Now, Paul comes along with his traveling ministering companions, and he goes down to the river and he begins to preach and share this message about the Jewish Messiah to this woman named Lydia. And she has an open heart and receives the message and listens to the message. It was God who opened her heart to the truth. It was actually God who did the opening of her heart so she could believe and be saved. Paul preached the gospel to Lydia, but it was God who opened her heart, and that should be good news for you. Some of you say, I can't tell people about God or Jesus because I don't know what to say and I'm limited. Well, the good news is Paul couldn't save anybody. The good news is Lydia could not save herself. It was God who had to open her heart. So you can go out boldly and say, yes, I'm limited, and yes, I have my flaws, and yes, I'm not the best at sharing my faith. But you can go out knowing that you can share your faith, and it is God who is the one that has to open hearts. If the Apostle Paul needed the Holy Spirit to help, how much more do I need the Holy Spirit to help? If Silas and Timothy and Luke, you know, the one who wrote the book, if they needed the Spirit of Jesus' help, how much more do we? We need our words accompanied by the Spirit of Jesus. There was a drunk man leaning on a lamppost on a busy street, slurring and staggering around, and he saw a famous preacher, Charles Spurgeon, walking down the street. And he said, "Hey, Spurgeon." He said, "Do you remember me?" Spurgeon looked at him and said, "Should I remember you?" He said, "Yeah, you should remember me. I'm one of your converts." Spurgeon said, "Well, you must be one of my converts because you don't act like you're one of the Lord's converts." I can't convert anybody. You can't convert anybody. The Spirit has to open their heart. What do you have to do? You have to be interested in the interested. You have to not let roadblocks stop you. You have to be willing to open your mouth even in an insecure way, in a not so eloquent way, and preach the good news and allow God to open hearts. She was interested in the truth. She was interested in goodness. She was interested in beauty, and she found it. She found him down by the riverside. If you seek him, you shall find him. If you're here this morning seeking after God, do what Lydia did. You say, how do I get God to open my heart? Well, do what Lydia did and listen and respond to the word of God. Why did God save Lydia? Why did he save her? She listened to the word of God. She was eager to hear. She was eager to learn. She went out of her way to worship the true God. She didn't have it all figured out, but to the best of my ability, I'm going to worship God the best that I can. She allowed God to do the work in her life and open her heart. As God begins to open your heart, you can say no. Say, no, I don't want you to open my heart, God. And many do that, reject God and walk away. I believe that. Some people don't believe that in the Christian church, but I believe you can tell God no. But she didn't. She said, yes, Lord. She said, yes, Lord, open my heart. And then afterwards, she was obedient to God's command, and she was baptized in water. She confessed openly that I believe that Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus is the Lord, and he's Lord of my life. And then afterwards, she wanted to serve Jesus and the new family of believers, the church, by opening up her home to the church and being hospitable. There is nothing in this story that we would say that it is, but it isn't this overly supernatural. You know, demons aren't cast out. You know, the lame are not walking, the deaf are not here. There's nothing what we would say is overly supernatural in this story. It's just someone responding to the truth of Scripture. It's just someone responding to the good news, to the gospel. God can do amazing things through people who are interested in him. He did amazing things in and through Lydia's life because she was interested in him and she was willing to hear the good news. And God can do amazing things through people who do not get stopped by roadblocks, who rethink, replan, wait, and then get new directions, who look for people who are interested in the gospel, who look for people who have open hearts. Say, that's all well and good. What am I supposed to do with this message? I don't know what to do. I'm a little bit scared of this message because it ain't that complicated and there's something I know I can do. Well, let me tell you what you can do. Living for Jesus. This is what you can do with this message today. You're living for Jesus. Number one, ask yourself, and you need to do this, who do I know that may be interested in Jesus and his church? That's the first thing we need to do. We need to ask ourselves, who do I know that may be interested in Jesus and his church? Where is your riverside? Where's somebody laying down? You need to go down to the riverside. You got a riverside. And this is a little bit scary. As soon as I said that, you go, oh, I don't know if I know I need to ask them maybe. I know it's a little bit scary, but the first thing you do is just ask yourself, who is interested? And you sit with Jesus and say, God, give me the wisdom, the strength, the leading, the guiding direction. Help me. Maybe even send somebody with me. And then what do you need to do? After you figure out the Holy Spirit tells you who's interested, the second thing you need to do, go and ask them if they are interested in Jesus and his church. In fact, let me just give you that phrase. I believe it's good. I believe it's a good phrase. Here's what you need to say. Are you interested in God? So I was just wondering, are you interested in God? Are you interested in church? You should just write that phrase down. I believe that's a good opening line to witnessing. Are you interested in God? They'll either say yes, or they'll say no. If they say no, it's, well, I was just wondering. I was just thinking about it. Don't try to force it. If they're not interested, they're not interested. You go back and pray some more. But if they say yes, you go, oh, what do I say now? You tell them about your experience. Remember that, are you interested? Could you say that with me? Are you interested? Let's try it again. Are you interested? I believe that's from the Holy Spirit. I'm going to claim that. Why do you need to do this? You need to do this because you never know until you ask. And if you don't ask, you'll go through the rest of your life. And they may go into eternity and you'll never know. We need to do this because God wants to work with us and through us. Imagine what the church would be like if each of us asked someone, are you interested? It transformed Philippi, which in turn transformed the world. And I believe it would transform Living Hope Assembly of God. It would transform us. God uses those roadblocks and open hearts to find those interested in Him. Are you interested? Are you interested? Just do it and see what the Holy Spirit does. In Jesus' name. Let's pray for the strength to do this. Let's pray for the power. He said He would give us power. That was His promise. He promised that He would be with us. He'd never leave us or forsake us. So Lord, right now in Jesus' name, I believe looking around today, everyone here is a Christ follower. Some of us are have more experience on our journey. Some of us struggle in particular areas, but I believe we're all Christ followers here. So I believe everyone here could ask someone, are you interested? I don't want to take anything for granted. I just ask you this morning, everyone here, are you interested in Christ? If you don't know Christ, if you don't say He's Lord, are you interested? I just invite you into the family today. I invite you into the church. I invite you into this place today. I invite you into the body of Christ. Are you interested? If that's you, just tell Jesus right now, Jesus, I'm interested. Jesus, I'm interested. Save me. Help me. Change me. Lord, I'll believe in You. And at the appropriate time, I will get baptized in water and confess that I haven't got it all figured out, but I confess that Jesus is Lord because I'm interested. And now I'm a Christ follower, and I'm following You. Help me. Help me, oh God. Now, Lord, I ask that You would help every person here, every Christ follower here, that we would have the strength, the power to reach out to someone and say, are You interested? Are you interested in God? Are you interested in Jesus? Are you interested in His church? And Lord, when we do that, just amazing things will begin to happen. You transform Philippi. You transform the continent of Europe. You can transform us through that simple obedience, through that simple question. Are you interested? Are you interested? Are you interested? Thank You, Jesus. Lord, would You put somebody on our heart? Would You just ask Him to put that person on your heart? Who is interested in God, in Jesus, in the church, in your life? Who's that person? Would You ask Him to put it on your heart right now? It's scary, I know. It's an adventure. It's going 500 miles. It's leaving Troas, heading to Philippi, to Macedonia. Somebody's begging you to come. It's scary, I know it. Who is it? Who is it? God, put that person on our heart. Who is it? Who is it? It's your son. It's your son. It's your daughter. It's your grandchild. It's your neighbor. Who is it? Who is it? Who is it? Say, Lord, give me the strength to ask them, are You interested? Give me the opportunity. Give me the open door. and open their heart. And we thank you for it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. That scare you a little bit? It should. It's 500 miles. It's an adventure. You won't get bored. You won't see it as an exclusive club, but that's all right. Are you interested? Are you interested? Stand with me if you're able. Let's praise the God that we're interested in. Are you interested, Dan? Are you interested, Bill? Are you interested, Kay? Are you interested, Denny and Jan? Are you interested, James? Lord, give us strength, oh God, to live for you, to serve you. Lord, let us not be just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And Lord, I pray a special blessing upon your people, an empowerment by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of Jesus, to be on their life. They would go into all the world and preach the gospel, asking people, are you interested? Make your face shine upon them. Be gracious to every person here and give every person here peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.